All right. Let me give things just a moment here so we can go live. For anyone that is on the Zoom side of things, I'm going to go through a quick housekeeping. If you have any questions, Q&A will be open the whole time. If you are watching this on any of the other platforms, we're streaming this live onto Facebook, LinkedIn, all the fun social medias. Feel free to jump into Zoom. We will try to monitor those as much as possible, but we don't always catch questions. So make sure to hop on here if you want to interact with myself or Michael. And the other thing I want to do before we get started is I do want to highlight that all these sessions are recorded. They're up and available on our website. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen real quick for us. So we actually have all of them up and ready to go at any time on our MSP Initiative website. Definitely suggest take a look at that if you've not been over there. We have hundreds and hundreds of sessions. They started in, I believe, February of 2020, so they've been going on for quite a while now. The other one I want to highlight before we jump into everything is Community Minds. It's our upcoming event. We actually have two of these this year. We held our first annual one in August last year. It was an absolute blast. The idea here was bringing together MSPs for true education, not just somebody on a stage telling them about different pieces of a business or somebody telling them about and things they can do that can change your business. It's actually helping you do that thing. It's helping you create the plan, create the starting pieces to really get going, whether it's sales, marketing, legal, compliance, security, finance. So we've hit lots of different areas. We have some really good ones coming up for this year. First one's actually coming up pretty quickly. We've got April 17th to the 18th in Nashville. So always fun city anyway. We will be continuing the tradition of having some fun at night. And second one is going to be in Denver. So that's going to be July 24th to the 25th. So beautiful time to be in both of those places. And then last thing I'm going to mention is we have plenty of community block parties this year. If you have not been to one of these are awesome. I am pleased to be joined here by Michael Lawson today of CouchDrop. MoveBot. So those guys actually joined us with their awesome robot, which we'll get to in a minute here, at the IT Nation party. I'm sure is in this in this carousel up here. But lots of parties coming up this year. First one's going to be in Dallas in March at the Enable conference Empower, and then plenty more. So if you haven't been to one of these, make sure to hit the website, take a look, register for the events, and if not, you can actually just join the mailing list, get the upcoming sessions, and of course, hear about any of the other upcoming parties that are happening. So, with that, I'm going to stop sharing my screen and I'm going to formally introduce Michael Lawson of the CouchDrop MoveBot team. So, Michael, welcome. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be
Of
here.
course. You guys kind of popped up last year, and I think the first time that I really interacted with Colin was IT Nation London, it would have been. And you guys absolutely took things by storm last year, which was fun to see. So do you want to tell us a little bit about the story? What does the company solve for MSPs? And then we can kind of dive into it a little bit.
Yeah, so give you some background. We started actually with SFTP, which is what CouchDrop is, and purely a really a functional sort of product. If you need an SFTP server in the cloud that works with Dropbox or Google Drive, we built that and solved that sort of little niche problem for techies, right? It was actually came up as something that we needed inside another company that I'd founded previously. And yeah, took that to the world and then discovered that people were using it to migrate data into like Google Drive and whatnot, which on the face of it was insane.
Yeah.
So we started looking at this as a problem and thought, well, come on, it's moving data has got to be easy. Like someone's surely solved this, and made this migration process really seamless. But we didn't come across anything, especially in the file space. So immediately we started looking at, okay, how can we move or facilitate the move of tens to hundreds of terabytes of data between pretty much anywhere to pretty much anywhere. And well, it's a mess. It's actually really hard, unfortunately, which is probably why it hasn't been solved terribly well. And so out of that came MoveBot. And yeah, we're now sort of pretty much everywhere, where we've got a team all around the world, and we are focused in, our main team is in Christchurch, New Zealand, which is a bit of an odd place to have a software company, but we're out here, and effectively we're just trying to make migrations and constant data transfers really, really easy for MSPs and for companies. And yeah, growing pretty impressively at the moment. Like, it's a really interesting space to be in that, you know, as companies adopt new cloud storage and, you know, move to new MSPs, and of course with that comes a different way of working, or want to, you know, put data where it should be, as opposed to just all being dumped in, you know, in one place, that is not necessarily cost optimized for that type of data or easy to use. For people like this, there needs to be an easy way to actually move that data, which is not tied to one particular platform or one particular vendor. And that's MoveBot. That's the whole idea.
Love it. No, I listen, I came from the data space. I worked in backup. I worked on the PSA space where we had tons of data on every client. And then obviously on the BVoIP side, right? We have voicemails, you have call recordings, all that. So moving that, especially for clients that are, you know, end clients are in certain businesses, is crucial. I think back to the backup disaster recovery days at Datto, any end client that was a police department, you know, there's legalities around how long you have to keep that data. Or same with legal, same with insurance, right? There's legal guidelines on how long you have to keep data, and it gets really expensive and clunky to keep it on site. So being able to actually move it off site is crucial. So I agree with you. It's a huge hole, and I think it touches every industry, which is where I think this is such a cool opportunity for MSPs. I think it doesn't matter who you're servicing. I think there's definitely an option out there for you to work with your clients on it.
Yeah, there is definitely. And I mean, if you think about just that problem with the police data, there are constantly new players cropping up in the storage space. Like, for example, you've got Wasabi and Backblaze, who are now sort of taking on Amazon S3, and that sort of storage is horrendously scalable and incredibly cheap. And so if you're, you know, using that kind of hot or cold storage is a really, really good way to de-risk your, you know, the business that you're serving as an MSP, and save a lot of money, right? Because servers sitting in a cabinet somewhere is not ideal and not terribly scalable, even if it might be cheap, you know, and easy to get up and running to start with. It's a real risk, and there's a lot of decent options coming out of the woodwork as to where you can sort of archive that data or stick it.
I think the other app is you have people who are trying to store data, whether it's, you know, whatever, files, video. Then you have the other side, which is business intelligence, right? It's become such a growing area. Watching that data, being able to move it to, you said Dropbox or OneDrive or any of those larger players to then integrate back into, you know, Breakage or anything like that. Is that something you guys are working with as well, or?
To some degree, and we're starting to sort of build out or look at workflows around constant data movement as well inside MoveBot, which, you know, can be used for a wide variety of things. Like, it can technically be used to perform backups. It can be used to sort of perform syncs or a constant sync of data between platforms. And I mean, as far as actual platforms that we're working with, we get, you know, probably every week, we come across a new, you know, a new platform or system that someone wants to integrate us to integrate with. And for us, it's pretty straightforward to do that, to go through that process. And so we are constantly adding support for new systems. And yeah, I think the most recent one we did was like BIM 360. 365, quite niche, you know, a lot of people will probably never come across it, but if you work in CAD, it's huge. And you know, we've even started looking at potentially doing things around, you know, the PDF systems, so the DocuSign and HelloSign and whatnot, because these platforms tend to end up with a lot of data sitting in there, and that data is almost kind of unaccounted for. Like, it's not, you know, it might also be in your email inbox, but it's not necessarily in a very structured way. And so, you know, when a company wants to get rid of a particular product and move to another, it can be a bit of a nightmare. And you don't necessarily even know what you don't know, right? Which is another, I would say, core tenet of MoveBot, is that scan functionality, which gives you a real picture of what, you know, where your data is and what's going on and what you can do with it.
Very nice. I always love to ask this question. How did you get into the MSP space? So obviously you started on the other side and you kind of moved your way in. And obviously, I mean, we are kind of this vacuum for technology, right? Everything kind of finds its way here. But what was, do you have a client that contacted you from the space? Did you, you know, what kind of pulled you in?
I think I've always been working with MSPs. I've worked for MSPs earlier on in my career. I prefer building stuff. That's kind of, I really like building stuff. And so I tend to gravitate towards that side of the fence, but I have personally always been involved with MSPs, and the last company I founded was selling to MSPs into schools. So when we CouchDrop in itself as an SFTP server is not really an MSP product, although we do have a lot of MSPs using it to help their customers. And when we sort of looked at this problem of migrations and of data moving with MoveBot, and said, well, the obvious customer here is actually an MSP, and they are, you know, MSPs are most greatly affected or impacted by this problem. It's a move or a data move or migration always tends to be dropped on an MSP at the very, very last minute. And personally, I think MSPs are far more fun to work with, right? Because, you know, we're on sort of the same page as far as technical capabilities go. MSPs understand all the weird things in SharePoint and in Google and really kind of get it. And thus they get why this sort of tool is actually really important and really crucial. While something like MoveBot has applications for pretty much anyone in the world, right? My partner has migrated several times. It used to be a bit of a standing joke. She's an accountant, right? Used to be a bit of a standing joke in the house that she, you know, she was moving data around between Google Drive and tenants, and she'd come to me and say, well, this is like, it's not working. Can you help? And it's like, our company does what exactly? It's like, there's a tool for this. Do you use it? So, I mean, the problem exists everywhere, but I think it's most useful in the MSP space. And yeah, we have really shifted our focus to the MSP space, and away from, yeah, we don't do any sort of consumer stuff, and we try and leave the enterprise deals and the larger companies alone as well, and just are 100% focused on building MoveBot to be a tool for MSP use. And we have,
love it.
That answers your question. A bit long-winded, but yeah, it is focus for us. Yeah.
I think it led to something important, which is that's always a question, I think, for the MSPs, right? We've seen so many different paths that tools get into the space. I think there's been a lot of tools that come in from overseas or from the enterprise that kind of dip the toe in and then maybe kind of back out. And I think that's, you know, I've definitely heard it time and time again from partners. It's tough to deal with. It's very, very tough to deal with. Them, it's like that weirdness of like, should I engage? MoveBot seems cool, but are they really here, you know, for me? And to hear that you're an MSP, focus or only tool, I mean, that's huge for them. That's going to be, I think it'll be really good for them.
Yeah, and it is, I think one of the challenges coming into the MSP space for vendors is it's very, very community focused. And so if you're not, and it's very support focused, I think support and good support, not, we're a vendor. So the support that you should get from us as a vendor should just be absolute next level in terms of technical competency on our side. And less of the rubbish, right? Like it should, you shouldn't have to go through a whole bunch of hurdles to get to the guy who actually knows what he's doing on our side. And that's, I think some vendors struggle with that. And that's a big roadblock when companies come into the MSP space, is they're not prepared for the community side of things, and they don't adopt it. They don't take it on board. And they try and optimize support and lower the cost of support, and they put obstacles in place. And I think, like, for us as a vendor, we're not a very sales driven organization. We're actually an adoption driven organization. So I measure success for us based on the number of MSPs who are using our product on a monthly basis. That's a core metric. And the other one is how often they're using it. And so the way that we get success there is by really working with MSPs and being there, helping them out when stuff goes wrong, and not putting up any obstacles. And I mean, that's, you can book time directly with our techs. We have both Slack and Discord. There should be a million ways to get in touch with us. And I think, I think that's really important for the channel, for MSPs, because, well, on one hand, it's the right thing to do. But on the other hand, if an MSP is coming and they've got a problem, the triage is already done, right?
Yep.
It's no longer a level one ticket. It's getting up there because, they haven't been able to figure it out, which means something is wrong. And I think it's really important that, when they reach out, it's an easy thing to get the right person, easy thing to get sorted, and that's a big part of our business, is ensuring that.
No, absolutely, and I think that I love hearing that you saw that so early on, and I've really adopted that because it is true. It's a very community driven organization, which is awesome. It's so unique in a lot of ways, and I think that's probably one of the biggest pieces is the level of community in it, right? I mean, you'll see something unfortunate will happen to someone in the space, and you'll see the whole community kind of rise up around them, or you'll just see that level of welcoming. I think that it that's a huge testament to the evolution of the MSP space. I mean, I've been in the MSP space for about 10 years now, and back when I first started, there was very much this, a lot of times you hear it referred to as castle mentality, that well, you're an MSP and I'm an MSP, so we shouldn't talk because we might compete with each other. And I think people quickly realize that you can't do it all. And there's more small business than any one of us could handle. So while you do have some very big players and they're doing a great job and setting process, procedure, and scalability around whether it's a franchise or just a large scale MSP, I think everyone kind of realized that there's more than enough to go around. And sometimes MSPs say, hey, I am the best at dealing with dental, and you're the best at dealing with banks. So every bank that I run into, I'm going to refer it over to you, and vice versa. Seeing that evolution and that level of community has really been over the last decade, and it's been such a cool thing to watch. And I think the vendors did a great job of that. The vendors facilitated a lot of that and kind of said, hey, listen, just that guy is across town doesn't mean he's trying to steal all of your clients. He probably doesn't want half of them, or most of them. And if anything, I've heard MSPs say, oh yeah, I get calls from his clients sometimes, and I won't take them. I actually say, no, really, if we're really going to go that route, we have to call him. We have to have a conversation with him. But I think you should call him and work it out because he's a great guy. And just such a difference from, I worked in the enterprise, and to say that, that is a far departure.
Doesn't happen in most markets, right? I think that is something which is quite unique to MSPs. Yeah.
No, absolutely. So, are you global then? Are you in all markets then? I know you said you had a global team. Are you just English market, or are you working in other markets?
We, as far as, well, we're pretty much everywhere. So I think probably 60 to 70% of our business is in North America,
Okay.
and then we have a decent number of customers in the EU, and Japan of all places, which is quite strange and
That
very,
time and time again recently.
that market. And then a little bit of, some getting some traction in Australia, but our big focus is really North America. And then we have, as far as staffing goes, obviously supporting, support is really, really important. So supporting people from New Zealand can be a little bit time prohibitive, right? The time zones don't marry up terribly well. So
Yeah.
we have people in Europe, we have people in Vancouver, and then we also have some people in Las Vegas as well. So we're sort of building support mechanics, and not forcing people to get up at 4 a.m. New Zealand time too frequently.
I love that. We both grew out of an MSP, and we're in the Philadelphia area. We kept losing people to different markets, like Boston, New York, et cetera, DC, and eventually put out job recs in a lot of secondary cities and did extremely well, found amazing people. And we kind of just followed the sun of the day for the US, and we were able to expand our business, get some more hours in, which is great. We follow a similar plot with B-Boy, so it's cool to see others using that. I think it's a great way to do it. Instead of trying to do the three shifts, if somebody that's miserable because they're working overnight all the time and they eventually burn out because they feel like they can't have a normal life and everything else. So it's definitely nice to have, and nice to have those different time zones covered, and it's definitely a good way to do it. What would you say is the number one mistake you see MSPs doing with data and data migration today?
Leaving it to the last minute.
Fair. Do you think that's, I know you mentioned earlier that it sounds like it's on the client side. Do you think the MSPs are doing that as well? Do you think that they're kind of like, eh, it'll work itself out?
I think it's
Underestimated the job.
you're right. It is driven from the client side, without a doubt. It's just one of those things which is thought of last, that and often the customer and the MSP doesn't actually know how much data is there and how sparse it is, which is something that we're trying to make really visible. And we have a sort of scan function that we sometimes refer to as Explorer, which will tell you, where your data is, what it looks like, how frequently it's been touched, this sort of stuff, and help you with clean up as well. So prior to a migration, to make it quickly or quicker, you can get rid of a lot of data, which is obviously bad for us, because we want to move it. But you can do that. And I think the biggest mistake really is that you get backed into a corner, generally over a weekend, and there's just simply not enough time and not enough preparation gone into that task. And it can sometimes be incredibly simple. It's just almost, grab the data and go. It'll run over the weekend. You come back and everything's perfect. But with a larger organization and one that's going through a bit of a digital transformation, it a little bit more planning and, a bit more consideration for things like cutover as well. While Atoll, doesn't have a hard cutover mechanism. Rather, you do sort of a continuous sync or delta until you're happy. It is still quite jarring for users if they come in and on a Monday morning and suddenly, okay, you're now using Google Drive or Google Workspaces.
Sure.
The data doesn't look the same. It's organized slightly differently inside Google, and even though it's all there and there's nothing missing, it's kind of it can be a little bit jarring for people. So I think, yeah, just on the bigger migrations where there's users involved, a little bit, give yourself more time. And over deliver and like get it done faster than what you commit to. But give yourself a bit of time for dealing with failures and for making sure that especially key people like CFOs are they spend their whole life in Excel, and if their spreadsheet is not where it was when they come in the next morning, it's sort of all hell to pay.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm with those sorts of people, walking them through the transition, and also consider prioritizing content if you are backed into a corner, time frame wise. You can use MoveBot to take only content which has been modified in the last 6 months. You do that, you get that smashed out over a weekend, and then you backfill the rest. But again, just a bit of planning. And try and give yourself a little bit of extra time a good thing. Like, it's a win-win, right? Because we will try and get the data across as quickly as possible. That's the whole idea for us. But if you commit to a couple of weeks or something like this, and then it's done over a weekend, you're a superhero. Like, versus the opposite, you're the bad guy. So I think that's a big one.
No, absolutely. And I feel like some of that can just be done with, marking the migration discussion, right, into like a quarterly business review. So if we're doing a quarterly business review and, is there any of your tools, right? Because the reality is, as much as MSPs want to be managing all the tools, there's always a software or two here or there that they're using that, inevitably, when they want to switch to something else or they feel like something's not working, they will call the MSP, whether the MSP sold to them or not, because that age old, if it's on a computer or has a blinking light, it's probably going to get a call for an MSP at some point. I feel like that can easily be part of the discussion, right? If I'm doing a QBR and I realize that you want to move XYZ software, your DocuSign, you want to move over to SignNow, that discussion of, hey, if you considered a migration, would you like us to look into that? Would you like us to migrate the data for you? Would you like us to pull this all down so you can have historical data? All of those things, I feel like, probably are a great upmark, good project that MSPs are may or may not be hitting on. So yeah, it sounds like with your scan tool, they can definitely get some potential, extra revenue that they're maybe not touching on.
I think absolutely. I think like also, because it's so difficult to move data between some of these systems, it just never happens. And so, one of the things that we are trying to push with MoveBot is that you don't necessarily have to think of it in terms of a migration. It can just be, hey, there's a bunch of data sitting over here. It's not really being utilized because no one can utilize it. Let's put it somewhere where it actually makes sense. Let's move it off to archives and not pay through the roof to support that. So I think if MSPs have a tool which enables that, it'll allow them to sort of get more project work and to, well, fundamentally help their customers organize their data sprawl and the chaos that is, probably three or four different generations of storage inside this business and really clean it up. I think, that's going forward next, the next few years, I think that's going to get more and more important because on the other side, you want to give businesses the tools or your customers the tools that work best for the certain scenario that they are operating in, right? And if you have a larger company, large, keep in mind, large for New Zealand is anything over 20, right? So when I talk large, it's not necessarily large for you, for in the American market, but your graphics design team wants to work in Dropbox. Your finance team doesn't want to know anything about Dropbox. They're sticking with Office 365 because it works with Excel. I think it's a good idea to try and give people the tools that best work for them. And that's where the MSPs can really help their customers. And having tools that can, look at the compliance aspect, and we don't do that, right? But look at the sort of compliance aspects of both systems, and enable things like moving data between both systems is going to be really helpful for MSPs going forward. Because there will always be two major players in the storage space and the workspace space, right? It's always going to be Microsoft and Google, but then on the fringe, there will always be companies, and they're big companies like Dropbox and Box and Ignite and then Backblaze and Wasabi and these sorts of organizations who are doing very, very specific things for a very, very specific vertical. And you want to give your customers the best tools for the job. Pigeonholing them into, something like SharePoint for all of their data is, while it might make management easy, it's not going to work for everything. And I think your customers are going to be happier if they have the right tool for the job.
Couldn't agree more. No, it's definitely something I think we don't think about as often. And I think when you get into different industries, I actually, way back before my technology career, I started in the insurance business. And that is a business that loves and holds on to files. They were slowly over time trickling it away, but they were also stuck on really old software. This was in 2008, and they were selling Lotus Notes. You'll find those pocket industries that are very much stuck in it and stuck in time. They have tons of data that needs to be moved. And I mean, it's just, it on top of everything, I think we see it a lot with the phone world, is it's a good foot in the door. It's something that they probably need to do. I'm sure there's not a lot of MSPs out there that are advertising or doing SEO or AdWords or anything around data migration, but probably not a horrible idea. It's definitely an easy project, and it's an in-the-door project where it's like, oh, you know what? Your network looks a little screwy, and those computers are okay. They're a little bit old. I could probably get you newer. It's easy to get in the door, and then all of a sudden, potentially create yourself a great opportunity. We had a partner who, off of just a phone opportunity, he had just running an ad on phones and ended up bringing in a flight school. It was like their second largest customer and brought in $30,000 a month and recurring. So, I mean, you never know what's going to happen with, that foot in the door opportunity. And every business is dealing with data. So it just feels like an easy one to probably cast the net on.
It is. And I mean, the other side of this, it's going back to, it's not always a migration, but having 7 years worth of data sitting on a Synology box in a cabinet somewhere, or on infrastructure which is not really actively managed, like what is literally happens in the insurance business for sure, that's a risk. Like, absolutely, as far as security risk goes, right? You're far better off with that data sitting in immutable storage, and something like, Pure Storage if you're massive, or S3, Wasabi, Backblaze, where it can't get tampered with. It's not accessed. It's kind of, just sitting out there. I think no one's talking about data migrations in terms of security, and it hasn't really occurred to me in great detail until I just, talking now. But I think that's an interesting thing for MSPs to be looking at. Hey, like, where are the data risks within my organization? What's lying around that is actually quite exposed? And, hey, should we delete it? Because while that's going to save some money, and it's going to make the client happy, or, right, do we have to retain this data for 14 years? And so, all right, let's push it off to something which is immutable. It can't get crypto locked, it can't get messed with, and just, tick off that box. I think, every business in the world at the moment is worrying about the security side of things. And it's a really, as MSPs, it should be a big focus. And I think putting data where it needs to be or where it's best kept could be a big portion of that. And big opportunity, definitely.
Yeah, no, I think that that I mean it is definitely huge, and I think we've all watched compliance come down in our industry, and I don't think it's anywhere close to done. We've seen all markets, right? The more that crypto locker and ransomware and everything hits, the more exposure on our industry, and eventually more exposure on all the different things that an MSP can touch, and that compliance is coming. I think some MSPs are doing a really good job, and they're getting at the forefront of it, and they're helping, and they're working with local legislation or even DC, and being in the forefront of that, which is amazing, and absolutely appreciate them. There's some that are really taking on CMMC and really starting to understand and write the guidelines around that, and help differentiate that for the MSP market, which is just awesome. But yeah, it's all going to come back in the end to data. And how it's stored, where it's stored, and who has access to it. So I think there's a huge need for that. And I definitely look forward to seeing how you guys solve that problem. So I did want to highlight just a side note, a fun one. I loved the robot. That was great at IT Nation. For anyone that didn't see that, they had a robot which transformed into Bender for the evening of our party, which was also an absolute blast. But just fun. It was good energy, and I've interacted with your team now at a handful of events over the last year, and definitely enjoyed the experience, and look forward to seeing you guys out there again this year. I hope the robot's coming back to make an appearance a couple times.
Yeah, the robot will definitely be coming back to IT Nation, I think, and at the
Awesome.
end of the year, and he'll probably make an appearance at a few other conferences in the
There's
next.
probably someone somewhere in an office right now listening to this that wears the
He's
robot outfit that's like, damn
he's in the other room, broken up into
it.
15 pieces, and undergoing some structural repairs at the moment.
Fair. I did see some dancing. So that is fair.
Yeah.
What other events can people look to see you guys in? Are you doing a ton this year? Or are you guys planning on not as many?
So we're doing a combination of events in the US and then local ones in Australia and New Zealand.
Okay.
So we'll definitely be at IT Nation at the end of the year. That's quite far away though. We're going to be at some Google Next as well. If anyone, I will personally be walking around at Google Next. And Colin, our VP of sales, will also be there as well. Probably not in a robot costume. But yeah.
Happened to kill.
I'm not a fan of the kilt. It's a little bit unsettling.
He wore it well. He
No,
did well, man.
he does
He looked
very well.
well.
Very well. I think we'll be at MSP Geek as well.
Okay. Yep.
We'll probably be at DattoCon too, and a few others over the year. So, and then
Awesome.
if you're in Australia, or well, if you're in Australia, we'll probably be at the sort of major conferences over in Sydney, as well, for Kaseya and ConnectWise and Google and whatnot.
Awesome. I know we will see you at which one is it? The DattoCon in Gold Coast or in Sydney. We'll definitely be there. We might see you at the IT Nation in Sydney as well. So I'll keep you guys posted.
I think we'll be going to both. It's far easier.
I could imagine. I was just looking at my flights for next month. We're heading over for the PAX 8 SKO, and I'm in upstate New York, so you're looking at 26 hours door to door.
Yeah, it's a long trip. It's a
Is.
long, long trip. You're kind of best if you can to actually stay in Sydney for a couple of weeks, get over the jet lag, and of course, try and take something of a vacation. Mix it in. But it is a long way to come.
It definitely is. I absolutely respect that. I know how trying that can be. We were doing about six times a year to Australia back pre-COVID, so I know how absolutely draining that can be. Luckily, genetics, I don't know what it is. George and I are very fortunate. We'll just get off the plane and go. So we've I don't know what it is. Jet lag's just been pretty minor, if any. I also think it's about timing the flights, right? Timing the flights, timing your meetings, right? Give yourself a little bit of time to shower, refresh, get back to it.
There are some tricks. I have a bit of a regiment.
Yeah.
It's still not
Yeah.
pleasant. Yeah.
I will say a couple of years ago, I found a lot of the airports over here sell Dream Water.
Oh yeah.
It's yeah, the enzyme tryptophan from Turkey.
I don't know whether it actually
Absolutely.
works. Does it work?
It's like a very natural calming. You just kind of let that like slow, like normal falling asleep heavy, not sleeping pills. You know, someone scooped me up with a shovel and put me back in the seat.
Yeah.
So definitely not a bad way to go. So for any of the vendors or MSPs that are planning on traveling overseas this year, keep an eye out for it. Well, that'd be fun. We are at work planning our IT Nation 2024 party, so that'll be a lot of fun. Look forward to seeing the robot dancing at it again. It was definitely a hit last year. So we will maybe we'll have to coordinate, do something fun with the robot. So we'll get somebody else with a robot. Maybe we'll get see if ConnectWise can bring back a lab tech robot. You can do like Rock'em Sock'em
Oh yeah,
robots.
that'd be cool. There's another, couple of other companies, right, that have sort of robot-y logos, so we could probably have a decent robot section somewhere.
Battle Royale,
Competition.
that'd be
Yeah.
fun. We could do like a foot race. A lot of fun stuff we can do with that. I will definitely we'll definitely be in touch. So then your next event on this side would probably be GeekCon then in May, I believe.
No, in the US, yes. We do actually have one locally, which is a novelty. I think there's around 160 MSPs coming to Christchurch for it. So that'll be awesome. But no, the next big one is WikiCon. Yeah. Oh,
Okay.
MSP Geek, sorry.
What's the local one in Christchurch?
Great question. I'm a shocker with names, so I can't tell you what it's called. But I think it's
SMBIT maybe?
sorry.
As SMBIT or is it one of the ConnectWise user groups maybe?
It might be. I should know these things. But I don't.
That's all right. It's just good news that MSPs are coming to you locally. So, I mean, it's great news. You get to
Yeah.
show everybody around, show them some fun places.
It's always interesting how many there MSPs there are around. Like Christchurch is, it's a small place, right? It's 450,000 people, but there's a whole bunch of MSPs here, and yeah, I think it's as we said earlier, like not really competing with each other. It's there's more than enough customers to go around and whatnot. So having these get-togethers is very good. Gives us an
Especially,
opportunity to show we're local as well. So I'm
yeah,
excited for that.
absolutely. Especially with Christchurch, I mean, you have so much government there. I think there's just a lot of business you can work with. You know, as you get more rural, I think it can be a little more tough. But you know, it's interesting. We see it a lot in the U.S. too. We did when COVID hit. We really heard a strong drive to get out and still do the face-to-face, the handshake events, to a degree, obviously. And we ended up renting a tour bus and we went city to city and held a series of events and we held them, you know, properly distanced and masks and all the precautions, but it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was great seeing people in person. But one of the coolest things I think about it was we visited the non-major cities. You know, it was the first time in a while I was heading out for an event that wasn't in Florida, Texas, or Las Vegas. And you know, we were in Kansas and Utah and just states we don't normally get to visit, which was A, a lot of fun, but B, I think MSPs were just so excited to see somebody in their backyard. Can't tell you the last MSP event in Oklahoma, but the people there were amazing. They were awesome. They had great stories. They were so welcoming to us coming in and great restaurants and you know, just really cool to see that other part of the world. And also for those MSPs not having to get on a plane and generally I have a great partner in Lafayette And every time he has to go anywhere, he's like, I'll just drive it. For like a third of the country, he will just drive it because it's easier than taking some little plane, which may or may not have delays or issues or whatever, then taking a second plane to get anywhere. So yeah, it was, I think, really nice and refreshing for them. So it'll be nice to do it.
So we need a bus, is what you're saying. A bus with a
I
rover.
do know someone with a bus. It's, you know what? It's a fun idea, and I think that we'll probably dust off the bus someday and bring it back out. It was a very cool way to live for a couple weeks there, a year. But you know, I think right now the hard part is there's more events than there are days in the year. We take just MSP events, it's like two a day.
Even looking on LinkedIn and whatnot and just seeing every there's events every week. And I mean, for us it's really difficult because we have to really prioritize the ones that we go to, because we're sure we have some staff locally in the US and in Canada, so it's easy for them to get across. But it's yeah to send someone from New Zealand, which is what we'd love to do, because they're sort of closer. It's as far as especially on the engineering side, like figuring out what is actually going on, what are some of the challenges people have. It's just so expensive, so prohibitive. So we can't be at events every week, and there are events every week.
You know, a couple of years ago, George was having his first baby, and I think he's obviously extremely excited. His first child, and he was very excited to meet her. But he also was, I think, a little problem with dying inside because it was the second largest trade show of the year. We had so much planning that went into it, and he felt like, she wasn't due till right after it. He said, maybe I could do it. I said, there's no way in hell you're getting on a plane and going anywhere. And we joked around about the iPad on the Segway. Might be an option for you. I agree. There's something good about having that connection back to HQ and understanding what's really going on, even if it's just for a presentation. But we had heavily considered that, going down that route for a minute with George being out of commission for a couple months there.
Yeah, it's just one of those challenges.
For sure. Well, I mean, and that's why you've expanded the team overseas. So, I mean, it's great to see. And I know I did see them at least a couple times last year. So, a lot of, but yeah, I mean, if you actually add it up, I think when I talk to ThreatLocker, they do a few less events a year than there are days in the year. 350 events or 340 events a year. Pretty incredible when you add it up.
That's crazy. How do they find people who are willing to do that as well? Like this, I think I couldn't be away for a whole year like that.
I think that it just depends on the size of the company. I mean, a company like that has a big enough team where they can send different people to most places. I know for George and I, we're the primary travelers. So George this week is in San Diego. I'm home this week. Next week I head to Punta Cana for NerdyoCon. Week after that, I think we're both home, and then he goes to Zero Trust World, and then the following week he's home. I'm in Vegas for Right of Boom, and then we both head to Sydney for PAX 8 SKO. So you balance, make sure somebody's home most times. But well, I guess we're getting up to the last 10 minutes here. I didn't see any questions, so what I'm going to say is a couple of things I usually tend on. One is there anything MSP should look forward to with you guys? Is there any way that they should get in touch with you? Any webinars coming up or any of your own events you want to kind of invite them to?
Even if you're not a customer, they join a Discord channel. I think like where there's a decent community in there, and there's a bit of discussion, even if it doesn't include us sometimes, around migrations and whatnot, and some of the challenges with that. So I'd say that's always a good place to start. And then our business model is based on transfer. So you can sign up with MoveBot, have a play and use it. We give you sort of 250 gig free or more if you want to try with a larger migration. And there's no commitment or anything there, right? So it's not an ongoing subscription or anything. It's just per use, per gig. So I mean that's quite opportunistic. And you can also use a scan tool to map out your data, get an idea as to where stuff is, and that's totally free. So it's just built in. It doesn't charge you anything, and you can use it. And that in itself is a really, really useful thing. So if you're curious, there are two really good places to start. And then, if you'd like to have a chat with someone on our end, just reach out via the website, or again, like Discord or Slack, we're generally pretty easy to get a hold of. And yeah, it's
Awesome.
fun,
Yeah, and I
fun.
think recapping real quick everything was I think there's a cool opportunity there. I think utilizing that scan tool into the QBRs I think is huge. I think that they definitely there's definitely an opportunity there to look at what data is out there, get ahead of it, create less headaches for yourself. Don't let the customer force you to wait for the last minute. Obviously the security and compliance of it, right? What data should I have? How long should I have it? Where should I be keeping it? Is it protected? Should I move it? Right. All of those are important questions. And sounds like you and your team are ready to tackle them with the MSP. So I love that. Love the global team. And obviously everyone should keep an eye out for the other way to contact is keep an eye out for the giant robots at future events. So definitely a fun way to find you guys. But we will look for you guys at GeekCon and IT Nation and the other events you'll be at this year. And hopefully, we'll be looking forward to working with you guys more as we move into 2024. And if anybody else needs anything, head on over to the website, LinkedIn, Slack, Discord, as you said. And on the B-Web side, on the MSP Initiative side, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure. Always fun to have you guys on here. If you're listening after the fact, make sure to jump in to register for future sessions so you can ask questions. And of course, take a look at the upcoming events, parties, et cetera, and keep an eye out for Michael and myself. All right, with that, I think we will wrap things up a couple minutes early. Michael, thank you so much. It was great having you on.
Listening. Thanks for your time.
Have a good one, everyone. Bye.